Amen. Praise the Lord. Where would we be without the Lord? Amen. Praise God. We thank God for Jesus. Amen. What would we be lost and undone without the Lord? That's quite obvious. Isn't that true? In terms of our salvation, our eternal destiny, our desires to go to heaven and not a place of separation called hell. So without the Lord, we'd be completely undone. We'd be found wanting in the judgment. Isn't that true? But oh, because of the Lord and his great sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, we have received the right to life and life eternal. That's good news, isn't it?
Amen.
That's why it's called the gospel. That's the good news, the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. I want to thank the male chorus for that beautiful, powerful selection. Amen. It points us in the right direction for worship. Choir under the direction of Sister Ruby McClendon. Musical accompaniment by Sister Lania Smith. And we're prepared to hear from heaven now. Amen. What the Lord has prepared for our hearing even before the foundation of the world. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So we are thankful today. We are grateful people. We're thankful that the Lord loved us and demonstrated his love. It's one thing to say you love someone, but it's another thing entirely to demonstrate that love. Isn't that true? Amen. God puts love in action on the cross of Calvary. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And for that, we are eternally grateful. You know, we make choices every day. Isn't that true? You make a choice to do one thing or another. We make choices to eat or not eat. Isn't that true? And more often than not, we what? We choose to eat. Amen. Praise God. Sometimes more than we should. But that's a choice. You are not forced to do it. Some of us are still working. Most of us appear to be retirees in here. Someone may be working. And when it comes to working and employment, you have to make a choice to go to work every day. Isn't that true? Amen. That's a choice. He said, no, it's not a choice, Pastor. I have to go. No, you don't have to go. It's a choice. He said, but if I don't go, I'll get fired. Well, that, you make the choice to go so you don't get fired. Amen. So sometimes consequences affect your choice. Isn't that true? How much more your very eternal destiny? That there's a great choice that you must make to receive or to reject the Savior in the part of your sins. And so that's a powerful choice indeed that everyone must make who has come crying into planet Earth. Amen?
Amen.
And so the rejection of God and his Christ begins with one person at a time. Only one person saved at a time. We're not saved in groups. It's not a family saved, although there may be members of a family that are saved, but they're saved one person at a time, one family member at a time. Amen?
Amen.
There's no group salvation. It's an individual, personal, and up-close experience with the Lord. So the rejection of God and his Christ begins with one person at a time, one heart at a time, and spreads throughout a whole nation. Isn't that true? We live in America, the United States of America. And we don't know how many people are saved. We don't know how many people are lost. We can only say that we are saved, individually and personally, because we have accepted Jesus Christ in the pardoning of our sins. Can you say amen? And so we're thankful for that, that the Lord has provided an opportunity for us to receive eternal life. But there are many people, I'm sure, even according to the word of God, in our nation and around the world who have not yet bowed the knees of their hearts to the Lord Jesus. And that's unfortunate. And will be eternally unfortunate if they die in that condition, that place of indecision. Well, if you haven't made a decision, really you have made one, but you don't want to die that way. And so if you have not received Christ, then it's urgent that you do so. You never know when you will be called into eternity. Amen. So according to the word of God, most people in the world are lost. Most people in the United States more than likely are lost. They have not embraced Christ. And so the sincere prayer of this preacher and everyone who knows Jesus is that those who know not Christ will receive him in the pardon of their sins before it's eternally too late. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So everyone has a choice to make. Today we want to look at for the time that we have as our message title for today. Making the right choice. Making the right choice. We'll see what God's word has to say about this very important topic. momentarily. Let us pray. Eternal, most gracious Father, give you all praise and honor and glory. Thank you for all blessings, great and small. And pray, Father, once again, that you might once again build us up in the most holy faith, that you must speak to our hearts with a sense of urgency. And Father, that there be anyone in our midst who has not yet embraced Christ, that they would do so this day before it's eternally too late, and we'll give you the praise for it. And so, Father, once again, as we come before your throne of grace, we are listening with anxious anticipation, which you have prepared for our hearing, that we might be once again built up in the most holy faith. And so, Father, as we prepare to look to heaven, we have an earthen vessel that stands before the people. And so the sincere prayer is that you'd once again take this earthen vessel that stands before the people, meet them in the weakness and frailness of human flesh, that once again, by the preaching of your word, we might in a clear and fresh way see Jesus. Bless our time. We'll be careful to ascribe the praise to you. You're worthy in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We want to hear from heaven. We want to hear what God's word has to say about making the right choice. We make choices every day in life. And we understand that choices involve consequences, sometimes negative, sometimes positive. And so we want to weigh very carefully the choices that we make. Well, before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, we made a lot of bad choices. Can you say amen? Amen. And therefore we receive as a result negative consequences for the bad choices that we made. And so now that we come to Christ as personal Savior, we receive Christ in the pardon of our sins, we're now in a better position by the power of the Holy Spirit to make better choices and therefore are able to reap better consequences as a result. Amen? Amen? And so I believe today we are in a time of choosing, not just in the United States, but worldwide. I believe Christ is coming soon. I don't date set. The word speaks against it. But I know that our salvation is nearer than we first believe. Isn't that true? And the rapture of the church could be very much on the horizon. We talked about that. It's imminent. It could take place at any moment. There is no prophecy that has to be fulfilled that would be necessary to usher in the rapture of the church to be with the Savior. So it would behoove those who are alive today to come to know Jesus as soon as possible. Today is the day of salvation, the Word of God says. The day you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so we're in a time of choosing today. And it has always been a time of choosing from the very beginning. And God has foreordained it to be so. The choice is between God and self. And your response to this choice will determine your allegiance to God or self. In the beginning, Adam and Eve chose self, not God. And all of humanity was plunged into condemnation until this very moment in time. So Adam and Eve, they had two sons, Cain and Abel, you know the account. Abel chose God and Cain chose self. Cain slew his brother Abel. Why? Because Abel's heart was bent towards God, and Cain's heart was evil and bent towards self. Can you say amen?
Amen?
And here we are thousands of years later, and the same choice is presented. Amen. Isn't that true? To every person that has come crying into this world, choose God over self. Choose Christ over self. So choosing life, choosing Christ leads to life and life eternal. Choosing self leads to death and death eternal. So by the time that we have today, we will be looking at this important topic of choosing God over self. Amen? And if you're here and you know Christ, and I pray that you do, you say, well, that doesn't apply to me, then pass this information on to loved ones. Give a loved one the website address. Have them listen to a message that makes it very clear that it's urgent to receive Christ because no one knows when they're going to be called into eternity. Can you say amen? So we're going to be looking at these topics, and we have an introductory statement for each point. We'll look at 3 points, and we won't be very long, but we will pray that the Lord will speak to your hearts in the time that the Holy Spirit has allotted. Our introductory statement for each point. Everyone has a choice to make. Everyone has a choice to make. And you can put an exclamation point behind that or 2 exclamation points. How many exclamation points you want to put behind our introductory statement to demonstrate the importance of making choices and most important concerning accepting Christ and rejecting self. Amen? So everyone has a choice to make. Point one. Individuals have to choose. individuals have to choose. We made that very clear from the beginning. There's no general salvation in terms of everyone saved at the same time. God saves one person at a time, even though a lot of people may be saved at the same time. Amen. It's an individual personal reception of Christ as personal Savior that makes you a child of God. Amen. Point two, everyone has a choice to make. Families have to choose. But there are individuals in that family, but each family member has to choose. But our topic for point two, families have to choose. Our first point, individuals have to choose. And so we're moving up the ladder in terms of responsibility. Can you say amen? Amen. Point three, everyone has to choose, or everyone has a choice to make. Point three, all nations have to choose. They're individuals. They're families. Individuals make up families. And then families make up nations. And nations populate planet Earth. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so we want to look at these topics and pray that God will speak to our hearts and we'll see what he has to say. Amen. Point one, everyone has a choice to make. Individuals, point one, have to choose. A person must choose God over self. In other words, selfish motivations. There are things that we want to do that maybe God doesn't want us to do. And what we oftentimes say, not as much as we did before we came to know Christ, but before we came to know Christ, we were making decisions that left God out. We were wrapped up and tied up in our own selfish motivations, what we wanted to do, even if it was wrong. If we wanted to do it, we would do it. And we totally disregarded the God of all creation. That's a dangerous thing. Can you say amen? So a person must choose God over self. The most important choice that a person can make in life is a choice to receive Jesus as personal Lord and Savior before they pass from earth into eternity. That's important, is it? Because you don't know when you're going to pass into eternity. Once you pass into eternity, it's too late to decide to make a choice for Christ. You have made your choice. Your choice was to reject him. And then the consequences are separation from him. Amen. A person must come to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 14 to 20. We'll read that very quickly. Old Testament, fifth book of the Pentateuch, fifth book, Deuteronomy. And we'll be looking at chapter 30. And we'll look at a few verses there. And we'll move to a New Testament reference, and then we'll hasten to our second point. But we would desire that God would speak for the time that is allotted. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 14 to verse 20. Are you there? 30th division. And it reads, "But the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou may do it." We're called to do what thus saith the Lord. We're called to obey the Lord. Isn't that true? Verse 15, it says, "See, I have set before thee this day," what? "Life and good and death and evil." Look at those two opposites there. Life and good and death and evil. Good leads to life and evil leads to death.
Yes.
And you can only be good through faith in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that true? But one who is separated from Christ, New Testament context, can only do evil because you're separated from the Spirit of God and have not yet received salvation through faith in him. And so we understand a very real way that contextually speaking, the references here are to the nation of Israel, but we can make some comparisons for the New Testament church. Amen. Isn't that true? Without compromising the integrity of the texture or the text. It says in verse 16, "In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest," what? "Live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whether thou goest to possess." In other words, God was going to bless the nation.
Amen.
For obedience. There are blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. Isn't that true? Look at the opposites in the Bible. You ever thought about the opposites in the Bible? Good and evil, hate and love, heaven and hell. Choices lead to your eternal destiny. A choice to receive Jesus or a choice to reject Jesus. And that's very important. It's outlined throughout God's word and Holy Writ. Isn't that true? And so God had promised to bless his people, the nation of Israel, And he wants to bless us too. And your blessings begin when you receive Christ. Amen. Verse 17, it says, but if thine heart turn away. Oh, I don't need Jesus. Old Testament, I don't need God. I don't need Jehovah. Old Testament context for the nation of Israel. New Testament context for the church. Oh, I don't need Christ. I'm fine without him. I have a six-figure income. Oh, I have millions of dollars. Oh, I just hit the mega Powerball or whatever it is. And I don't need God. Do you know that riches cannot save you? Only Jesus. What is the profit of man to gain the whole world or hit the mega ball and lose his own soul? The answer is very clear, according to Holy Writ. Nothing. We need Jesus. Amen. Money cannot save the soul. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods, little g, and serve them. Look at the consequences of that choice. Old Testament and New. Sure. Worshiping other gods. Buddha, Shinto, Zoroaster, Confucius, all these other, Muhammad, all these other gods. False gods, little g. There's only one true living God. His name is Jesus. Amen. He's the only one that can save and save eternally. Look at the denunciation here. It says, I denounce, or in other words, declare to be evil unto you this day that you shall surely what? Perish. Look what a negative choice leads to. A negative consequence. Perishing. And you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land, upon the weather that passeth over Jordan to go in to possess it. To reject Jesus is a dangerous thing, New Testament context. Isn't that true?
Yes, it is.
You should not pass over to eternal life, but you should pass to eternal judgment for rejecting the Savior. That's the teaching of God's word, Old Testament and New. I call heaven and earth to reckon this day against you, that I've set before you what? Life and death. Mm-hmm. Eternal life or eternal death? That's a choice. Which one do you want? I'm not just talking about for a time. I'm talking about for all eternity. Yeah. You have to make a choice in time to determine what happens in eternity. Can you say amen? Amen. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Look at these opposites. Ah, look what it says. Therefore, you can underline that. Put quotation marks around it. Therefore what? Choose life. The word of God says very clearly, choose life, choose Christ. Amen. To reject Jesus is to choose death. And you will be found wanting in the judgment if you make that decision in time. Can you say amen? Amen. That both thou and thy seed may live. You want to pass this truth down to the next generation. Many of our young people, they have not embraced Christ. They think it's a matter of fact thing. I can do it if I want to, and if I don't want to, that's your God. That's your God, grandma, grandpa. I want to live my life. I want to enjoy life. Well, that's a dangerous decision to reject Christ, to reject the God of your grandparents, your parents. Because you were found wanting if you reject Jesus in time. We have to crucify Christ, crucify self to embrace Christ. Can you say amen? You have to fall out of love with self and selfish desires and selfish motivation, the thing you want to do to please you, in order to come to a saving knowledge of Christ and embrace him. Isn't that true? I say that all the time, and it's very true because God teaches that very important choice that we must make. It says in verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, obedience. God loves obedience. And that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is what? He's the life. Even as we have physical life and time, it's wrapped up and tied up in the Lord Jesus. We live and move and have our being because of him. Isn't that true? And so our life is wrapped up and tied up in the Savior. In the length of thy days, and that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord has sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to give them. Amen. And this is an Old Testament promise to the nation of Israel. But we are promised life and life eternal through faith in Jesus Christ, New Testament context. Amen. And so God's promises are all amen, yea, and amen. Can you say amen? Amen? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16 very quickly in the New Testament. Continue to talk about individuals making a choice. Individuals have to make a choice. Salvation is up close, personal, and personal. Matthew chapter 16 and verses 13 to 17. Matthew chapter 16, New Testament, first gospel, and verses 13 to 17. Matthew 16, 13 to 17. Are you there?
Amen.
Amen. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea at Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that the Son of Man am? He asked them a question. This is a question that we can all ask our family members. Mm-hmm. Who do you say Jesus is? We can ask the same question that Jesus asked his disciples to our family members. Who is Jesus? Do you know who he is? Of course, we can explain who he is. He's the eternal God of all creation. He's the Savior. But a person must be able to answer that question for themselves as an individual. And they must make a choice based on who they believe Jesus is. Isn't that true? And if you believe he's just a man that came and it's not important and I don't really have to accept him, well, then you've made a choice. But if you know that he is the Savior, if he is God Almighty, if he is the promised Messiah, if he is the one that died on the cross for our sins and we must receive him to receive eternal life, then we must make a choice to ask him to come into our heart and save us from our sins. Can you say amen? Amen. And so he asked him a question. Let's look at the follow the narrative here. It says, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. They were a little off track. Some people are off track about who Jesus is. They say he's just another man. Or just another God, a God, a little g. No, he's God, capital G. And not only is he God, he's a God-man. He's both God and man, the hypostatic union. Amen. He's perfect God, 100% God, and 100% humanity, man. Amen. Some say Elijah, and others, Jeremiah. Or one of the prophets, or maybe just one of the prophets. No, Jesus is God, you know, because only God can save you. Isn't that true? And so we have to make a choice to believe in this God who became man, that we might have life through faith in him. Look at verse 15. Look what he said to them. Well, I know what other people say. In other words, if you're talking to your loved ones, who is Jesus? And they say, well, some people say he's just another man, or he's just another prophet, or I don't know what people say. I'm really not concerned about it. And then look what Jesus says to the disciples. We can say the same thing to our family members who are not concerned about who Jesus is or don't know who he really is. He said, but whom say ye that I am? Who do you say that I am? Everyone has to be accountable individually for who Jesus is. And prayerfully, this preacher would desire that everyone sitting under the sound of my voice, you have determined that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who died for our sins, that we might have a right to life and life eternal. Amen. And so, look what they said. And Simon Peter. Oh, he jumps right into it. Simon Peter answered, said, thou art the Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name. That is his position, his title. He's the anointed one. Christ means anointed. He is Jesus the Christ. He said, Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Oh, he nailed it. That's who he is. He is God and God Almighty. He is the promised Messiah who came. Isn't that true? And look what verse 17 says, and look what Jesus said in reference to his response. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. In other words, you're blessed if you make the correct choice about Jesus. Isn't that true? If you in your heart have believed on him, you've accepted his personal Savior, then you have made the right choice. Can you say amen? Amen. And that's a blessed thing indeed. And so, as I stated, the sincere prayer of this preacher is that everyone understand my voice has believed on Jesus. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for what? Flesh and blood had not revealed it to you and thee, but who? My Father, which is in heaven. Only the Father can reveal to your heart who Jesus is. Then and now. You see, because in and of yourself, you can't believe on God. You can't believe on Jesus. The Father has to touch your heart. And when he touches your heart, you respond appropriately. Isn't that true? And so the sincere prayer is that your heart has been touched by God himself and you have embraced Christ. That's an individual decision that you must make. Amen? Amen. Praise God. I pray you have made it. Point two, everyone has a choice to make. Point two, families have to choose. All of us come from families. You said, I didn't come from a family. Well, how did you get here? You had a mother and father had to come together. Amen. It may have just been you, a mother and a father, but there had to be a mother and father coming together. A family unit is made of mother, father, and children. All members of the family must submit their lives to the one true and living God. It's good when a family can come to know Jesus as personal Savior. But again, it's an individual thing. A family is blessed if all members know Jesus. But all the members are saved unless they come to the saving knowledge of Christ. It's not a group salvation for families. But it's a blessing when parents know Jesus and can bring a child into the world and bring that child up in the nurturing admonition of Jesus and they come to receive Jesus. Oh, that's a beautiful family. Isn't that true? That's a blessed family where mother and father and children know Christ. So all family members must submit to Jesus as Savior in order to live and not die. But unfortunately, Sad to say, this is often not the case. Family units across this country and around the world are splintered, fractured, and broken because all the members of the family unit have not yet chosen to believe on Christ and serve and worship Him. Amen. Amen. So families must choose the Lord and not the devil and his evil world system that leaves God out. Amen. Turn to Joshua chapter 24, very familiar passage of scripture. We can't talk about making choices without looking at this very positive and very potent family saturated verse. Joshua chapter 24, right after Deuteronomy. You have Joshua there, and then we'll look at 24 and 15. Joshua, right after Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, then Joshua. Amen. The sixth book, amen. And we're going to look at verse, chapter 24 and verse 14 and 15. Oh, I couldn't bypass this verse when we're talking about families and allegiance to the Lord. Amen. Old Testament context here, but a very powerful spiritual application we can make for ourselves today. Are we there? Joshua chapter 24 and verses 14 and 15, and it reads, "Now therefore," what? Fear the Lord. You hear a lot in the Bible, fear the Lord. That doesn't mean be terrified. That means understand He's God. And if He calls you to receive His Son as personal Savior, it will behoove you to do that, to obedient and do that. Amen? That's a command. Receive His Son and then receive life and not death. It says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth." Not haphazardly. It should be total devotion to the Lord. That's why you come to church, to worship the Lord. You don't come to church to be saved. You come to church because you are saved. You come to church to demonstrate that you are saved. That I come on a regular basis to lift up and exalt the Savior. That's one way you can give credibility of your profession. A lot of people say they know Jesus, but they don't serve Jesus. That doesn't work. Amen? And so it says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods, little g, which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye," what? "The Lord." Capital L-O-R-D. Jehovah God, serve the Lord. Amen? And so look at a powerful conclusion here. Oh, this is powerful. Isn't it true? Look at this. "And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord," in other words, you don't want to do it, "choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, Mesopotamia, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell, Canaan. But as for what? Me and what? My house." What does it say? I? Does it say I? It says what? We will serve the Lord. You want your family to serve the Lord. A father wants his family to serve the Lord if he knows Jesus. A mother and father want their children to serve the Lord if they know Jesus. Because they understand the spiritual implications of that choice. It's very serious. Everyone on the other side of death wants to come back and choose correctly. You only get one opportunity to choose, and that's why the blood still runs warm in your veins. Everyone in hell wants to come back and receive Jesus, but it's too late. Today, you hear His voice. Harden not your heart. Isn't that true? But allow your heart to be softened and allow Christ to come in and replace that stony heart with a heart of flesh that you may receive life and life eternal. Let Him take that, those selfish desires away. And allow you to be motivated by the love of Jesus. Amen. That you might live for Him. And so it's very important that families come to know Jesus. But it's one family member at a time. So it's a blessing when the mother and father know Jesus. And grandmother and grandpa, grandma and grandpa know Jesus. And therefore a legacy of faith is passed down. But we find ourselves in a generation now with many young people. They don't embrace Christ because that's old fashioned. That's old fogey stuff. That's the old fashioned. Y'all old new frontier. Y'all old fashioned. Guess what? I'll take an old-fashioned God any day rather than a new-fashioned God that leaves out Jesus. New-fashioned God, little g. Some religion or some belief, some faith that leaves out Jesus Christ as God and God Almighty. Amen? And so old-fashioned suits my case. Amen? Because old-fashioned brings life and life eternal. New-fashioned brings death and separation. And so we understand the very real way that we're called to know Jesus. Everyone has a choice to make. Point three. And we'll bring things to a close. All nations have to choose. You say the whole nation? Well, the people in the nation. The people in the nation have to choose, individuals. And we live in America and we've chosen Christ. Amen? And we pray that others would do so. But the ideal is for as many people as possible to know Christ in a nation, and that nation would be blessed. But unfortunately, not many people in most nations know Jesus. So therefore, evil controls the world. The devil controls that particular nation, and woe be unto them when they pass into eternity without the Savior. All nations have to choose. Every nation in the world, small and large, is accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ as the God of that nation. Everyone should choose Jesus in a nation. But as we stated, most do not. This is unfortunate. This is the only way that the people of that nation can be presented with the opportunity to receive Jesus and escape hell and win heaven. You are saved in this nation, and you can tell other people in this nation who are unsaved how to be saved. Isn't that true? So you are forced to be reckoned with. You are an ambassador for Christ in the United States, in the supermarket, in your family, whatever, to tell people the urgency to receive Jesus. If you weren't in the United States, if saved people weren't in the United States, there would be no voice for the Lord. Amen? So you have an important responsibility, even though you may be a small voice. Speak that which is unto eternal life, the words of life which only come through Christ. Can you say amen? Tell the lost about Jesus. Christians in every nation on planet Earth are called to repent of their sins. That's what you got to tell people. Humble themselves, that means bow down in submission to the Lord. Humble themselves and pray before God that the lost might receive Christ as Savior. You want the lost to receive Christ. Amen. The United States will never be a Christian nation, but there can be a nation that is made up of those who know Christ. And we pray that those who are seated under the sound of my voice, we are members of that group. Amen. Then will God hear that prayer and heal that nation and forgive its people. Amen.
God can't heal America until those who are here come before him in prayer. Amen. Doesn't mean he's going to heal the whole nation, but we can bring more people to salvation with our testimony in our life. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Let's turn to Psalm 33 very quickly, 8 to 12, verse 8 to 12. Going back to the Old Testament very quickly. Psalm 33. Right before Proverbs. I can turn to it. Psalms. Right after Job, not Job. Psalm 33 and verses 8 through 12. Are we there? Amen. We'll close out soon. Look what it says here. Let all the earth, what? There's that fear again. That's chicken in your boots. He's worthy of reverence. He created us. And the one who's created us is able to save us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And he has done that which was needed to save us. And he is all powerful. So he's able to bring it to pass. And he did that on the cross of Calvary. Isn't that true? And so we should reverentially fear a powerful God who created all things, including us. And he has our best interest at heart. So would it behoove us to respond to his request? Amen. I put it that way. It's really a command, but I say request. And he requests, or really he commands, that we receive Jesus. Amen. It's a command. Let all the heavens of the world stand in awe of him. He is an awesome God. Isn't that true? For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Listen up, America. God is the creator. And we must bow in humble submission to him and receive his Savior, Jesus. Well, except we reap the whirlwind. United States, crime, murder, rape, economic collapse, all these sorts of things. These things are not just taking place in America, but all over the world. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. In other words, the evil devices, God is able to destroy all of them. Amen. Bring to nothing their devices, their schemes. No one gets away with anything in time. God will judge. And if someone were to get away with something in time and not be arrested or incarcerated, there is eternal judgment that lies beyond time. Amen. So no one gets away in time or eternity. The counsel of the Lord or his will, either way, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all what? Generations. Look at this. Blessed is the nation what? Whose God is the Lord. And the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Those Christians in the United States, we are blessed. Isn't that true? Amen. It's not a Christian nation, but we are Christians in this nation. Amen. And we thank God for it. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, and we're done. Second Chronicles. Okay, First Samuel, Second Samuel, First Kings, Second Kings, Chronicles. Amen. Find First Kings, Second Kings, you're almost there. Amen. First Kings, Second Kings, and First Chronicles and Second Chronicles. Amen. First Chronicles 27, verse chapter 7. Second Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Amen. Amen. I know you know that. You can correct the pastor on that one. Isn't that true? Amen. I'm in First Chronicles. Are we there? Now, we don't want to pollute the context of this verse. Of course, it refers to the nation of Israel. And sometimes we can do damage when we compare it to the New Testament if we don't use it properly. But we can sort of paint a broad stroke and apply some things to the church in terms of how we come to God. We aren't going to be saved as a nation. He's speaking specifically to the nation of Israel in terms of that type of salvation will take place. And when the church is raptured up, he's going to deal with the Jewish people again. But look what it says here. If my people, amen, Israel then, contextually speaking, Israel then, but the United States today, which are called by what? My name, shall humble themselves and pray, and what? Seek my face, and turn from what? Their wicked ways. Then what will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now God is able to do a lot for us in the United States of America. For Christians. Now, that's not just wholesale blessings just because a person comes before him and doesn't know him in a part of their sins. But as a people, you know, like I said, we paint some broad strokes. We know the context of the scripture is for the nation of Israel in terms of national salvation. But we're saved one person at a time. We talked about that from the very beginning in terms of that individual choice. But as a nation, we have an important voice in this country to tell the lost about Christ and to live for Christ here. Isn't that true? And so we understand that every nation in the world, small and large, is accountable, what? To the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As the God of that nation. And that's a very powerful truth indeed. Amen? Amen? Amen. Praise God. And so what are we called to do as individuals? We're called to make a choice. We're called to make a choice. And the sincere prayers that I stated for this preacher is you have made a choice to receive Christ. So in conclusion, the Word of God has made it very clear that every individual person born on planet Earth must make a choice to receive what? Jesus, to receive him. Every family as a unit, mother, father, and children, must make a choice to receive Christ. See, the individuals in the family. And each individual in that family must make a choice for themselves. The mother cannot save children. And the children are saved, and the parents are lost. The children cannot save the parents. Isn't that true? Every tub stands on its own bottom. Every person, individually, up close and personal, must accept Jesus Christ for themselves to be saved. Can you say amen? Amen? And every nation on this planet must make a choice to be a nation under the authority of God, and that God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have bowed to him. Amen? Jesus Christ is the Lord of this nation for us. Amen? We have a president, but our president is Jesus. Amen? Can you say amen? Our king is Christ Jesus. And so the right choice is always to what? Receive Christ. Can you say amen? Amen? Time appears to be winding down for sinful humanity, sinful mankind. And so our sincere message to our unsaved loved ones is, today you hear his voice. Harden not your heart. Choose life. Choose Christ. Amen? Let us pray. Eternal, most gracious Father, we give you all praise, honor, and glory. We thank you, Father, we have made the appropriate choice as prescribed in your word to receive your son, the Lord Jesus, as personal Savior. And Father, our sincere prayer is those who are born again, now saved, on their way to heaven, is that our loved ones, family members, friends, neighbors, whatever the case may be, that they might receive him whom to know aright is life eternal, even the Lord Jesus, before it's eternally too late. And so, Father, we pray for them. We earnestly go before you on their behalf, that, Father, they will bow their knees of their hearts to you, and we'll give you the praise, even in advance, for your response to our prayers. This we pray in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. Amen. May we all stand. It's choosing time, isn't that true? It's time to make a choice. But we have to what? We have to make the right choice. I pray that everyone sitting under the sound of my voice, you have asked Christ to come into your heart and save you. Sometimes we do it as youth, isn't that true? We ask Christ to come in, and that may be sincere. We may be sincere. But as we get older, we move away from the things of the Lord. Isn't that true? And so God calls us back, back to faithfulness, amen, back to recommitment, to make our what? Calling election sure that we made when we were young. Because that choice must be made by everyone, individual, must be made by every family member, and must be made by persons who are in a nation, who live in a nation, a particular nation. And so if there's one here, you don't know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, will you come? Give your life to Christ. Make the important choice today. Make the right choice. Ask Christ to come in your heart and save you. Come into your heart and save you. That's your plea. Well, no one has come forward. We often give an invitation. No one comes. And as I survey, it looks like everyone knows Christ. I don't know. But if for whatever reason you're here and you don't know Jesus, or maybe someone listening on the airways by way of the internet, the website, or whatever the case may be, and you never asked this one, Christ, call Christ to come in your heart. You never made that choice, that right choice. You can do it in a moment of time by asking him to come in your heart and save you. And according to God's word, he'll save you from your sins in a moment of time. Amen? Amen. If you're here and you don't have a church home, will you come? Will you come? We'll set you by Christian experience. We're a small church, but we're a friendly, Bible-believing church, and we preach Christ. It's time to stop playing games. Time is winding down. Those who don't know Jesus must bow the knees of their hearts to him, that they might receive life and life eternal, and escape eternal condemnation and separation from God. Amen. Amen. I pray everyone knows Jesus. God bless you.